Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We are in for a great week this week. Who's glad that the sun is going to be shining? Who's glad that we're heading into Easter? Who loves Easter eggs? Come on, in the chat. Tell me what's your favorite Easter egg. All right. Me and my wife, we love mini eggs. Come on, where are all the mini eggs people? Give me a wave. Well done. What else have we got, Alan?
Dairy milk.
Dairy milk. Alan the elf is a dairy milk man. But we have got a great week coming up. And if you're new to church, you're watching online for the first time, or you're here in the building, we love to have guests. So come on, church. Why don't we put our hands together in the building? Welcome you. Let us know where you're watching from. I mean, we love that people get to watch online, but there's nothing like being in the room. And next week, Good Friday, we like to make the special days special, or Easter Sunday. So do whatever you can. But today is also a special day. It's Palm Sunday. And I'd love you to get your Bible out at home. If you can, get it up on your phone. Turn to Luke chapter 19. But first, we're going to pray together. Jesus, help us to see all that you've done for us today, this week, and next weekend. Open our eyes that we may see the wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You can take your seats. You can focus your mind online. Luke chapter 19. As you read the early chapters of Luke, you'll notice that Jesus ministers in the northern part of Israel known as Galilee. He loves people. He helps people. And miracles start to break out. Blind eyes are opened and sick bodies are miraculously healed. Rumors begin to circulate on Facebook. Maybe he is the one, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah who will unite Israel and lead them to victory over the occupying power of Rome. And as you read those early chapters, on 9 separate occasions in Luke, it points forward to the day when Jesus will march on Jerusalem. It's going to be a day of destiny. By the time we reach Luke 19, crowds of Galilean pilgrims are following Jesus. He arrives at the Mount of Olives on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and you can feel the temperature rising. As we turn to Luke 19, verse 28. And in my Bible, the title is this: The Triumphal Entry. This phrase comes from the famous Roman ceremony known as a triumph. The Roman Empire was and still is the greatest empire the world has ever seen. It lasted 1,000 years, and Rome was the first megacity of 1 million people. And when a conquering Roman general returned from a successful military campaign, they came back to a superhero's welcome known as a triumph. For example, when Pompey the Great in 61 BC returned back to Rome, he paraded through the streets, waving banners, boasting that he had taken captive 12 million people and sunk 864 warships. What an accomplishment. Pompey entered the city wearing a cloak that belonged to Alexander the Great. On a diamond-studded chariot, pulled by 4 magnificent white stallions. Still today, when you go to Rome, you can see pictures like this, remembering his triumph. Riding on the diamond-studded chariot was a slave behind him, whispering into Pompey's ear, remember, you're just a man. The triumph reached a climax when Pompey entered the city. He went into the temple and he sacrificed to the gods of Rome. So when we read in Luke 19 this title, the triumphal entry, our expectation is heightened. The stage is set and the curtain rises. In verse 28, it says, when Jesus had said this, he went ahead going on, here it is, to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples. Notice we don't even know their names. Saying, go into the village opposite you. Again, we don't even know its name. Where as you enter it, you will find a stallion. Actually, a donkey. Tied up, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. If anybody asks you, why are you loosing it? You shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. It's meant to be a story of triumph, of conquest and celebrity, of superheroes on diamond-studded chariots and magnificent white stallions, but Jesus chooses to ride on a donkey. We too live in a world that celebrates the celebrity, the successful, the superheroes and the stallions, the airbrushed on Instagram, the flawless on Facebook. And we compare our real with social media's ideal. Social media shouts at us. People speak it over us. And on the inside, a little voice whispers unto us, you're no stallion, you're just a donkey. Wonder whether any of you girls thought you were marrying a stallion, but you found out he was a donkey. Don't put it in the chat. I have good news for you. Jesus didn't come for a charging stallion or a pedigree thoroughbred. He chose a donkey. So the title of my message is God uses donkeys, not stallions. And my first point is this. Write it down again so you remember it. Point number one, God chooses donkeys, not stallions. Look at the person next to you and say, it is just as well. Let's dig into this story. Verse 30. Jesus said, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a donkey tied. Point number two, before he chose you, he tied you up. I want us to be a bit creative today. I want us to imagine this story being told through the eyes of the donkey. You're going to need to use your imagination. If Shrek can do it, we can do it at church. We're going to put the donkey on Zoom, invite him into the chat, and every now and then unmute him. What would the donkey say to us? I'm tied up. Can't go backwards. Can't go forwards. I can move around a little bit on this rope, but I'm all tied up day after day, week after week. It's boring. It's frustrating. Does anyone even see me or know that I exist? Just want to get out of here. Friend, when God has a plan for your life, It doesn't matter how much you murmur and complain and scream and yell. When God has a plan for your life, He will tie you up. God will tie you up when you're trying to do your own thing. He'll tie you up when your temper is raging. He'll tie you up while your ambition gets out of control. God has tied some of you up. I remember in October 2008, we went to Atlanta with Pastor John. He was around 18. He wasn't quite the stallion that he is now on this platform. He was a little bit raw, and he loved to get up to a bit of mischief. It's always brilliant being with John because you never quite know what he's going to do next. So we were in a theme park called Six Flags of Georgia, and it was Halloween time just before it, and they had Fright Night. And all the cast all night long were dressed up in all these horrible outfits, and everywhere you go, they would jump out on you and scare you. And so I think John was getting over this. And at the end of the night, they had a parade, and all these freaky creatures came through the central street of Six Flags, Georgia, and we were lined up just kind of watching the parade. There was fireworks going off, and John saw his opportunity. 98. All right, just keep me right here, but this is true, isn't it? He's there with us, and then there's like this gargoyle, and John decides in his wisdom to leave the street with everyone else, and he decides to jump on the back of the gargoyle. And the gargoyle didn't like it. And so they started kind of swinging at each other. And then I see the security guard with his baton. And then I see a policeman. And you know how Americans like guns. I'm thinking, this is not going to be good. And literally, they're having this intense fellowship. That's what we'll call it. All right, John and a gargoyle. So what do? I went up behind him and put my arms around him. And literally, I tied him up. And some of you have been in situations in your life where you got a little bit out of control, and here's what God did. He came behind you. Some of you didn't even realize He was there that night, but He stopped you. He tied you up. He protected you. He preserved your life. Why? Because He's got a plan for your life. Thank God when He chooses us, He ties us up. Thank God John didn't end up in prison. I wonder how many times God has seen you little tinkers. You've had too much to drink. When your thoughts were racing and you were thinking of doing things, but He tied you up. He protected you. Because God uses donkeys, not stallions. Verse 30, going into the village opposite, as you enter, you'll find a colt tied, in which no one has ever sat. Loose it. Point number three, when the time is right, He's going to free you. When the time is right, He's going to free you. You might feel stuck right now. You might feel tied up, locked down. But here's the good news. It's only a matter of time until He frees you. You have no idea what God has prepared for you. God has a roadmap out of lockdown for your life. He has already spoken the word. He has dispatched the messengers. Help is on the way. Business people, a breakthrough is coming. A new contract, that thing that you've been negotiating, He is coming. He's going to help you do what you couldn't do yourself. Single parent, you've been struggling with your finances, struggling with your kids. Hang in there. It's just a season. Help is on the way. As you step from your ordinary into His extraordinary, you will face opposition. When you are about to be set free, don't be surprised the enemy tries everything he can to keep you bound. In fact, sometimes these attacks are a signal that a new level of freedom is just around the corner. Verse 33, as they were loosing the colt, look at this carefully. The owners, everyone say owners, said to them, why are you loosing the colt? There's the opposition. And they said, the Lord, everyone say Lord, has need of him. When we read the New Testament in Greek, we see things that you don't see when you read it in English. It was originally written in Greek. And the word for owner in Greek is kyrioi. The word for Lord is kyrios. So the donkey had an owner, which was its kyrioi, but he was about to be set free by the Lord, who is kyrios. We miss it in English, but in Greek, this wordplay demands our attention. It's asking us whether we will be ruled in life by our kyrioi or our kyrios. In life, you have the opportunity to have an addiction that will keep you kyrioi, but Jesus will be your kyrios. Your insecurity will keep you bound as your kyrioi, but Jesus will be your kyrios. If you want to say goodbye to your kyrioi, you have to accept the lordship of your kyrios. Did you notice when we read this story? We don't even know the names of the two disciples who go to collect the donkey. Did you notice that? Why not? Because your name is not important. When you have to set somebody free, it's not your name that sets them free. Jesus was very specific. He said, if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? This you shall say to them, because the Lord, Kyrios, has need of it. In other words, don't come in your name. You've got to learn to come in my name, because in your name there is no authority, but in my name there is all authority. So don't try and fight your battles in your name. It won't get you anywhere. You've got to learn to fight your battles in his name, because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. The Lord has need of it. That's why I love War Room. Wednesday morning, someone put the link in the chat. Get it in your diary. It's the same link every week. If you haven't been, start. Come this week. Why? We don't come in our names. We come in his name. When the time is right, he'll free you. Verse 34. And they said, here's what they said, the Lord has need of him. The Lord needs you. Listening to me on the chat here in the room, the Lord needs you. Every person needs to be noticed, known, and needed. Let's unmute the donkey one more time. I'm just a donkey. Pretty ordinary donkey. In an unnamed village. No one's even heard of it. Tied up. Sometimes I have issues. Anger issues. I'm a donkey on the edge. Sorry, I couldn't help that. Not particularly good at anything. Haven't achieved anything. And then these people come to me and say, the Lord needs me. We understand grace the most when we think we deserve it the least. Think about this, friend. Sometimes you can even walk in a church and think everyone's so perfect, everyone's a stallion. So aware of your own inadequacy, your own issues. But listen, friend, the Lord has need of you. Even though you've got a few issues, he still needs you. Even though you're struggling with an addiction or insecurity, he still needs you. Even though you've been through a divorce and you feel so broken and humiliated, he still needs you. Even though others have rejected you, mistreated you, they've told you for years you're no good, but the Lord still wants to know you, he still needs you. He's still got an incredible plan for your life. Yes, your life that's listening to me. How amazing that the God of the universe needs me. Because God uses donkeys not stallions. Verse 34. So they said, the Lord has need of him. Verse 35, then they brought him to Jesus. He brought you to himself. The older I get, the more I realize I didn't come to Jesus. He reached out. He worked through circumstances and he brought me to himself. You did not choose me, John 15, but I chose you and appointed you. Friend, he chose you. He appointed you. He's been calling you. He's been drawing you. You're not listening to my voice by accident. You're not in this room by chance. God's hand is upon your life. He's got a plan for you and he's drawing you to himself. God uses donkeys, not stallions. What a story, but this is where it starts to get even better. Are you still with me in the chat? Verse 35, then they brought him to Jesus and they threw their own clothes. Wish I had time to go into that. But listen to this. The story is in all four Gospels, but only Luke shows us this. It says, and they set Jesus on him. They set Jesus on you. Thousands of pilgrims are waiting in hope and expectation to march on Jerusalem and enter in triumph. And then, all of a sudden, they see a donkey and they go crazy. You say, why, Steve? Because 500 years earlier, a prophet named Zechariah had written a very specific and detailed prophecy about this moment. 500 years earlier, 500 years of hope and expectation. You say, what did he write? Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a stallion, riding on a donkey. When the crowd see the donkey with Jesus, they realize in that moment that he is their king. And this is that moment. And look what happens. It says that they set Jesus on the donkey. In other words, the crowd lifted him up. Have you seen it? When in football, when you win a great victory, what do? They lift the manager up. Here's what they're doing. They are enthroning Jesus on the donkey. I love this book. That's why I love to go through it like a detective. Go back to verse 30. There was a little detail I didn't pick up on, but here it is. He said, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a donkey on which no one has ever sat. So Jesus sits upon the donkey. It's the first time anyone has ever sat on him. I wonder how the donkey feels at this moment. As Jesus himself, the King of Kings, is lifted up and placed on his back, and the crowds begin to roar. Let's unmute him, the donkey, one more time. Just picture it. Whoa, this feels different. No one has ever been placed upon me like this. No one has ever treated me like this. No one ever celebrated me like this. And for the first time, the donkey discovers his dignity. He discovers his purpose. He discovers the reason that he was born. Some of you have looked to so many things to find your purpose, and it didn't feel right, it didn't fit right, because you were created to encounter Jesus, to have him come into your life, to carry his presence into the earth. The donkey's position made Jesus more visible. Our world is looking for stallions and superheroes, but we're not it. The moment we try and be stallions or superheroes, they'll find something, some crack, some sin, some shortcoming, and they will knock us down. So let's stop trying to lift ourselves up, promote ourselves, and celebrate ourselves, and let's start lifting up Jesus in the earth. Let's carry him, let's display him, and make him visible. It's only when he's intimately known that he can be accurately shown. Yeah. And our purpose this week, church, is to take Jesus into our city, because God uses donkeys, not stallions. We're going to unmute the donkey one last time. You enjoying the donkey? I love this guy when I read about his story. One last time, the donkey speaks. Can you picture him there, bottom at the Mount of Olives, the great city ahead? They've picked up Jesus and put him on him. He's thinking, what is going on? He says, this morning I was all tied up. I was on this little patch of dirt. Now here I am, in the middle of this huge crowd. Can't believe I get to carry him into Jerusalem. And as I start walking, people step out of the crowd. They start to lay down their clothes on the floor like a red carpet in front of him. They start singing at the top of their voice and praising him. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. We're about to step into the city, and he gently tugs me to stop. I think this is it. I expect him to make a great rallying cry. But there is silence. I feel something gently falling onto my back. Feels like rain. There isn't a cloud in the sky. So I turn around. I look into his eyes. He's weeping. His holy tears fall onto my back. You see, church, sometimes we're so obsessed with looking for men who can become gods that we miss the fact that God became a man. Jesus didn't need a Roman slave whispering in his ear, "You're just a man." We see divinity in humanity. See your King, lowly, humbly, riding on a donkey. Last week I sat in the atrium with Jimena, a beautiful Colombian kids pastor. And she's studying her master's degree, and she'd been asked this question, and she asked me, she said, "Steve, How would you describe yourself? Well, that's a hard question. How would you describe yourself? So I said to her, I think I would call myself a big softy. And she looked at me kind of perplexed. She said, that's not the side of you that people see in church on the platform. Why would you describe yourself that way? Number one, it's what all my girls call me, big softy. Number two, the older I get, the more emotionally incontinent I seem to have become. Only emotionally. But number three, I said to her, to Jimena, I said, just 2 days ago, I was on FaceTime to my daughter in Australia, to Melody. It'll happen to all of you. I was on FaceTime and she was having a tough time and she was in tears. And this happened. Now normally I don't do that. Normally Rachel does it. But this time I was so proud of her. She talked to her. But I was like this. I was a mess. And I just couldn't stop. She was so far away. And I just wanted to help her. And I think in that moment, I felt what Jesus felt when he looked at that city. People who he loved so much. And he just wanted to reach his arms out and help them. And as tears of divine mercy fell onto the donkey's back, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Don't reduce this to a moment of emotion. When Pompey the Great entered Rome in triumph, where did he go and what did he do? He went into the temple and then he made a sacrifice. After weeping for his people on the outskirts of the city, where's the first place that Jesus went? Check your Bible. He went into the temple. Just a few days later, he didn't make a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. That's where the story continues next week. Friend, he gave himself because he loved you so much. If God chooses donkeys, not stallions, what are three things we can do? Number one, first thing you can do is make him your Lord. Friend, he loves you. He chose you. He's called you. He's bringing you to himself. But let me ask you, have you made him your Lord? Have you said, Jesus, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I give you my life. From now on, I'm yours. That's what it means to be a Christian. Maybe some of you in this lockdown season, you've drifted away. friend, it's time to come home. I can't think of a better day. Well, maybe next week. But this is also, what a day to say, Jesus, I'll be a donkey that you can ride upon. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And wherever you're listening to me from, friend, do not put this moment off. He wants to be your Lord. He has brought you, he's drawn you, he's called you. This is the moment when you can choose Jesus. So close your eyes right now, put your hand on your heart, and here in this room, if you want to make Jesus Lord for the first time, or you're coming back to him, and you pray this prayer, Jesus, thank you that you chose me. You have drawn me. And right now I choose you as my Lord. Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you come into my heart? I want to live for you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, it's a short prayer, but it is a life-changing prayer. Your life will never be the same. We want to help you as you continue on this journey. There's information on the screen. Let us know. If you're in the room, come up and talk to me after the service. I'm down here. I'd love to pray for you and help you. We just want to help you any way we can. God chooses donkeys, not stallions. Number one, make him your Lord. Number two, come on, let's really understand the power of his name. The Lord has need. We're advancing in prayer. That wasn't just a one-off message in a season. This is something we're going to keep doing this year. We're going to keep advancing. Maybe you haven't been in the war room yet. Hey, don't worry. There's people still in bed. There's people driving to work. There's people at work. We don't care what you look like. We just want to see breakthrough in your life. So email it. Put it in your diary. Let's be a people of prayer, not just at the war room, but all week long. Your breakthrough is coming. Then number three, let's carry him into our city. God uses donkeys. This week is your biggest opportunity to invite people to church. This week, people will say yes that otherwise will say no because it's Easter. Buy your neighbor an Easter egg and deliver it. Invite them to church. Your work colleagues, your school colleagues. Can I give you a little tip this week? What about if we all did this? Be prepared to be a donkey. Help people. Open a door for people. Make sure our superpower this Easter is not our celebrity. It's our humility. Because God uses donkeys, not stallions. Are you grateful for Jesus?
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.